and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. I am Lante. You are?
Jeremy Warner.
That's right. I forget. We've only worked together for, what, 8 months?
I'm getting old.
I am getting old. I am old. I'm not getting old. I think I'm there. I'm old. All right, so we're shifting gears, and we're going to talk about some soccer. And we are joined right now by Illini women's soccer coach Janet Rayfield. Coach, how are you today?
I'm doing just great. Kind of back in this time zone and back in the country and feeling pretty good.
Yeah, Coach, you're over at the World Cup. You're an advanced scout for Team USA. You getting over the jet lag yet?
You know, it hasn't been as bad as I thought it would be either direction. So, you know, I was a 24-hour travel day back, and you crash one night, and the next day you get up, and it's, you know, you're back in the States. So I'm feeling pretty good.
Well, you're in Germany. I think it was 24 days or something like that. Just talk about what you did for Team USA working as an advanced scout.
Yeah, you know, 24 days, I think I saw 12 games. And, you know, the early part of the tournament, I was watching all the different groups. But the one that sort of ended up being the most important probably was I had seen Brazil play 3 times before we played them in the quarterfinals. So I saw Brazil play, I saw England play, I saw France play a little bit. So, you know, my job was just sort of give the national team staff as much information as I could about those teams. And, you know, it's different watching the video or watching it on television and then actually being there and seeing all the interactions of the players and the staff and body language and that kind of stuff. So it was really fun. It was an educational experience for me, and it was great to sort of be a part of the staff.
And Coach, I'm going to ask you about the scouting Brazil, and I know there was an adjustment based on what you did there. But first of all, how did you get hooked up into this, into the Team USA with this, and how did you get this opportunity to go over to Germany?
Well, you know, I think, you know, like anything in any profession, it's contacts and connections. And Marsha McDermott, who served as a coach here with me, and I've worked with her, you know, we've been mentors to each other probably. And she was the general manager of the Red Stars, and Tia Sudagi was coming in to see some of those games, and I was asked to pick her up at the airport as a favor. And, you know, we had conversations and talked about different players and, you know, struck up some conversations. So I think when they needed someone to come in and scout, there was a comfort level there with both her and Marsha about the players and my ability to kind of dissect tactics and that kind of stuff. So, you know, that was part of it. And so it's been great to use those relationships, and, you know, with both of them on staff, it was great to work with them.
Illini soccer coach Janet Rayfield joining us here on the Tay and Jay Show. And Coach, I think I've got you figured out. With the change of the AD and everything, you just said, I'm going to sneak away for about 24 days. Nobody's even going to know. Is that, what's going on here?
Well, I thought I might come back to a new boss, but I think I'm still bossless, so maybe I should just take off again.
There you go.
But
well, now, Coach, when you talk about scouting, and, you know, I'm more familiar, and I mentioned this to you, I'm more familiar with your baseball, football, et cetera. But when you're scouting ahead, let's say for a U.S. team, and you're scouting Brazil, do you watch for certain tendencies? How do you scout? How would you scout on that World Cup level? The same way you would scout, let's say, in Indiana or a Michigan State?
Yes, I think it's a little bit, you can look at players a little bit more in depth. You can look at their playing style a little bit. You know your own team. I think the amount of information you provide to a team at that level is a little bit more than, let's say, I provide to my college team. So, but you're right. You're looking at tendencies. You're looking at different things that they do to try to break down an opponent. I would liken it more probably to football scouting, when you're looking at what different plays they run, what holes they might have in their line, where their weaknesses might be that you could exploit, where the matchups are favorable to you and where the matchups maybe aren't as favorable, and how you think that with the personnel and the talent you have, you might be able to shore up some holes that they might be looking to exploit. So, you know, it's always that cat and mouse game and a little bit of chess and checkers going on, and everybody's trying to find where there's a place where their strengths can be utilized. And that's really what the scouting is all about, is to really look at their team and see either individually or even collectively in terms of organization, there might be a place where they might be vulnerable.
You talk about the best game of chess on there for the World Cup. I think it was the Brazil-U.S. game where the U.S. pulled it out. Obviously, Abby Wambach with that huge header before it went to penalty kicks. But I heard you had a move in that chess game. What did you see from Brazil, and was there an adjustment made based on what you'd seen from them earlier in the tournament?
Well, you know, I mean, one of the challenges with Brazil is just their attacking personalities, and obviously everybody knows Marta. And the abilities that she has. But, you know, Cristiane and Rosana and Fabiana, one of, you know, the players and the attacking ability they have, especially individually. And so, you know, one of the things that the U.S. discussed was maybe playing Christy Rampone on the other side, where that Fabiana was going to be more often and where they were really going to try to, I think, come down that right flank. And so, you know, that was something that was discussed, and, you know, I can't say I made the adjustments. The staff certainly decided to make that adjustment, and I think it proved to be beneficial in terms of really being able to force Brazil to attack differently than they had in most of the tournaments, and I think, you know, caused them to try to make some adjustments and obviously kept us in the game. You know, even when we went to a three back when we had someone thrown out, and believe me, we certainly didn't discuss that as part of the scout.
Yeah, not easy to go 10 against 11. Illini soccer coach Janet Rayfield joining us. She just spent about 24 days in Germany at the World Cup. She did some advanced scouting for the United States team. And coach, how does that Brazil game rank for you in terms of games? I know I was in a hotel down in St. Louis. My son's travel baseball team was down there, and I watched every second of that match. And when Wambach knocked in the header to tie it, I mean, I literally was like, oh, like I yelled. How did that rank for you to watch that?
Well, you know, and I didn't watch it live either. I was in a different city and watched the England-France quarterfinal as a scout for that. So I'm like yourself. I'm watching it on television. I was in an Irish pub in Cologne.
Nice.
Because that was the big city closest to where I was. And several American businessmen and, you know, some other American fans and people we converted to be American fans by the end of the game. But I told someone the other day, you know, most of the time when you say I'll remember where I was when something happened, it's usually a tragedy or something of of that nature. I think I will always remember where I was when that goal happened, when that game occurred. And it's really neat to have something from a positive perspective to say, you know what, I'll always remember where I was for the USA-Brazil game at the 2011 World Cup. And so, you know, that's pretty exciting.
Talking with Illini soccer coach Janet Rayfield. She's an advanced scout for Team USA over at the World Cup in Germany. And I know you saw in person the final game with Japan. It seemed like everything was going right attacking U.S., but it seems like they let up a little bit and just made a few too many mistakes. What was your take on that last game, the disappointment of losing that game?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, you can look at some of the things and some of the mistakes that gave up the Japanese goals, but I think you also have to look at the goals that we didn't score early on in the game. You know, and you're playing against a team who's really playing with a sense of emotion and a sense of they almost are playing on this emotion that is their destiny, that with the tragedy that had happened with their company, with their country, it was destiny for them to win this. And so every time we missed an opportunity in the first half, we sort of we bolstered that belief. And so I think as the game went on and we missed opportunities and they stayed in the game, that belief just got stronger and stronger and stronger. And I think you saw the result of that belief at the end of the game. Even though we scored, I think there was still this very strong belief that that they were destined. And so every mistake we made, you know, not only did it cost us, but I think it confirmed that belief for Japan, and it gave them that that extra energy to continue to fight and to continue to push, because they just felt like something was going to happen because, you know, fate was sort of on their side. And I think we sort of played into that emotion with some of the opportunities that we missed early in the game. You know, I felt nervous when we went in 0-0 at the half,
right,
when we could have easily been up maybe 3-0 at the half, and that would have certainly told a different story.
And that easily, though, can help the momentum of the other team, obviously. I mean, that's in any sport. But I thought the same thing, Coach, as I'm watching that. It's like it's almost like the U.S., if they wouldn't have had that many of those chances early maybe would have played a little bit better. I mean, that makes no sense to say it. But it's like because they were just missing this, it's almost like ramped up the anxiety even more.
I think so, you know, and I think that does happen as you, you know, you start to push, you start to press and say, gosh, we got to get one of these, you know, we're dominating. And, you know, they played some of their best soccer that day. Yes. I thought it was one of the best games the U.S. played. The outcome wasn't, you know, obviously what anybody was looking for, but the soccer they played on that day was some of the best they had played the entire World Cup. But I think when you play your best soccer and fail to score, you're right. You get a little bit of anxiety. And Japan, like I said, it just continued to bolster their belief that this was just going to be their time.
Illini soccer coach Janet Rayfield joining us here on the Tay and Jay Show. And, Coach, there's been some talk in the national media a little bit about the lack of scorn, if you will, towards the U.S. Women's World Cup team. And a lot of people thinking, you know, if this was the number one men's team or if this was the United States basketball team and they didn't get the gold, that the United, you know, that the people here would just be ripping them. And it seems like, you know, there's more some apathy, let's say, for that. What do you take of that? I've heard people say, well, you know, it's not fair because of the women. They deserve to be as scorned as much as anybody. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, I guess I can only compare it maybe to our men's national team, which, you know, if we get out of our group and make it to the next round, people in the soccer world are very excited about
right,
that. So,
right.
You know, and if you look at the history, I think it's been since 99 that, you know, our women's soccer team has even been into the finals of the World Cup. And, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with expectations. And I think when teams don't meet expectations, but I think from a soccer perspective, a lot of people didn't even expect us to get to the final. And so I think the resiliency that we showed against Brazil, the toughness that we showed against France, people are saying this team actually exceeded expectations, and so they don't get the scorn. I think scorn comes from when players don't live up to their expectations, don't live up to the hype that people have, don't live up to the reputation and the, you know, and it becomes a, well, you know, they just really didn't put their all into it. I think everybody knows that this team, with the resiliency they showed against Brazil and even against France in a game where France probably had, you know, their share of the play for sure, this team was able to find a way to win. And I think people have really seen that. And even in the Japan game, I think they saw a team that, you know, put their heart and soul and everything out on the field and maybe fell short. But I don't think anybody felt like this team didn't meet their expectations in terms of how much they went after winning that championship.
Sure.
And, Coach, as an ambassador of soccer, though, do you kind of like that some people might have been upset that the favorites didn't win and the U.S. didn't win? Because, you know, it means that they've made it, that the U.S. women's soccer has made it.
You know, I think that, you know, and we didn't go in as the favorites. I think Germany was definitely the favorites. And, you know, there was certainly some scorn from the German fans about their own team because their expectations were so high. I think what's really exciting is it's just been a boost for women's soccer. And I think the fact that people are talking about it, should we have expected them to win? Well, they did better than this. The fact that the women's soccer is a sport and a result that people are talking about, whether it's a scorn or they're defending them, that to me says that we've made huge strides in terms of where the sport is, because we are a sport that is now a conversation piece.
Yeah.
And that makes a statement about where we are.
So what do you think this World Cup run does? I mean, obviously, 99 seemed a lot of interest in this generation that played in this World Cup.
Time.
But what do you think this World Cup run will do for U.S. women's soccer?
Well, you know, I think it's already had an impact. The WPS game last night between Magic Jack and Western New York sold out, 15,000 people, largest crowd ever at a WPS game. And, yes, you know, the women's national team players were back. It was in Rochester. It's Abby Wambach's hometown, and that's always a good place. But I spoke to a friend of mine in Atlanta. Some friends of mine are going to an Atlanta Beat game there against Magic Jack, and I spoke to her about getting tickets, and she said, hey, get me those names right away because tickets are selling like crazy. So it's already proven to be a huge boost for the sport in terms of the professional league. I really expect it to help us this fall in terms of people are excited about the sport. They've seen a level of the game. I think they'll it will increase the amount of people that we have coming out to watch us play as we travel around the country and play here in Champaign. So it's definitely been a shot in the arm. I think there's new stars that are arising. You know, you've got Abby and Hope and Alex Morgan, who's the young star. You know, you've got them being on Letterman and all those kinds of things. So it's definitely putting soccer and women's soccer really back in the public eye. And I think if we can take advantage of this, we can certainly you know, give the sport a shot in the arm, and hopefully we can sustain this one a little bit longer than we did the 99.
Wrapping up with Illini soccer coach Janet Rayfield, who's over in Germany scouting for the Team USA at the World Cup. And, Coach, I imagine you got to drive on the Autobahn out there in Germany. What's that like?
You know, a lot of people have asked me about that, you know, I did test the rental car I had and made sure it was, you know, Autobahn ready in case, I ever needed it. But, you know, it's nice. It's one of those places where there's certain rules of the road and you pass on the left and everybody does that. And you just have to be aware someone can be coming by you on the left at a pretty good clip. And, you know, I think that was the challenging part, was to make sure when you looked in your rearview mirror, you looked twice so that you saw how much distance they made up in that short period of time. And sometimes that would come pretty quick. But the navigation system in the car was great. The Autobahn, the system of the Autobahn in terms of it being their interstate system, is really simple and easy to sort of figure out. And as long as you're an aware driver, the Autobahn is great.
So what'd you top out the rental car at, Coach?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Probably about 180 kilometers, so just over 100 miles an hour, just to see what it felt like. But it was an afternoon where there was no other cars on the road, and I felt like I was completely safe in terms of just giving it a shot.
I'm not sure.
There were a lot of other cars around. I stuck around, probably 120 kilometers an hour, which a lot of many parts of the Autobahn, 120, 130, sort of a speed limit. And then there's places where there is no speed limit. But that's kind of I would say most people drive 120 to 130. And then there's a few Audis and Porsches and those kinds that stick in that left lane and probably are in the 180 to 200 kilometers an hour.
So to our listeners, if you're on 57, see Janet Rayfield behind you when she's making her trips up to Chicago for recruiting. Get out of the way.
Oh, I definitely wouldn't try that on the American interstate, that's for sure.
I don't think I'd want to be a rental company in Germany is what I'm thinking.
I think it depends on the vehicle. I had a Volkswagen, and, you know, it was actually Volkswagen was one of the ones you saw in the left lane quite a bit. Some of them. So I will have to say the car I had was wonderful. Its navigation system was great. So I can't complain much about that.
Well, that is great. Illini soccer coach Janet Rayfield, I know that you had just an experience you'll never forget over at the World Cup. And I know we've never met before, but you did bring me Hope Solo's autograph, right? No?
Well, I am really fortunate. I have a picture that they did with the team and some of the things they have that I have autographed. So
awesome.
You'll have to come by the office and at least see Hope Solo's autograph.
That's perfect.
Well, Coach, I know for you, you can plug your schedule. The schedule just out today. What'd you think about your schedule this year?
I'm really excited about our schedule. I think it gives us an opportunity to play against a lot of teams that we don't really ordinarily get to play. I think we have three West Coast teams on our non-conference schedule, and that's exciting. We play USC here at home, which is going to be a great game, and then we get to play Oregon and Pepperdine when we travel down to LSU. So just some new opponents. You know, our schedule is great, but it's really going to be exciting, I think, for the players to play some new opponents. And then we've got Nebraska joining the Big Ten, so that even changes up the Big Ten schedule a little bit. So I think it's going to be a fun, exciting season. It's a challenging schedule, but I think we have a team that's really ready for a challenge. I think this team wants to be challenged. I think this team has high expectations. So we put together a schedule that I think will challenge them, and that should be fun.
Perfect. And for the future, Coach, you always want to do a home and home with Pepperdine.
Yeah.
Best campus.
Unfortunately, we're meeting in Louisiana, but we'll have to work on that one.
Perfect. Janet Rayfield, I know we've kept you on probably longer than you thought, but it's just been a lot of fun. So we appreciate you coming on, and congrats on your experience at the World Cup.
Well, thank you, and hopefully we'll talk some more as the fall season unfolds.
That's perfect. Thank you, Coach.
Awesome. All right, thank you. Take care now.
Okay, that is Janet Rayfield, was in a pub watching the Brazil game.
Which, where else would you want to be? If you're not at the game there, why not be at a pub drinking with some Americans over there?
Hand me a pint
Look out. Those rental cars topping out.
Wow.
80 kilometers.
What did she say? She got up to like 100 miles an hour.
That's like
you can't talk kilometers to me because I, you know.
I'm pretty sure that's over 100.
Yeah, because I haven't been in school in a while, so I have no idea what that translates to. But yeah, 100 miles an hour. That's Coach Rayfield.
Telling you, look out.
I love it. All right. It's the Tay and Jay Show. Give us a call, 359-2255. Has that sparked your interest? Will you go watch Illini women's soccer? Maybe. I'm sure a lot of people in the community are anxious for that now.
Yeah, if you have any thought on the Cardinals win today, Cubs and White Sox too. I know baseball.
Oh, did you have to bring it back?
359-2255, 217-359-2255.
It's the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.